following program is intended for mature audiences.
Get off the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Divino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Good evening, and it is a good evening indeed. Resistance forces won a major victory in Alabama against all odds. Democrat candidate for Senate in Alabama to fill the seat of the now Attorney General and Keebler Elf, infamous racist Jeff Sessions, beat the Republican candidate and infamous pedophile and racist Roy Moore. No more, more, less of more. That's correct, Democrat. Doug Jones won in the deep, deep red South, and even more gleeful is the fact that the win signals deep, deep shit for T-Rump and Nazi scumbag Steve Bannon, both evil incarnate. If that's not enough, the American Bar Association has unanimously deemed Trump appointee for federal judge, also in Alabama, Brett Talley, completely unqualified to serve as a judge anywhere, even in Alabama, and his bogus nomination has been pulled. Not being pulled, but shoved, is the ever-despicable Amorosa. She threw a tantrum at the White House, hearing about the so-called resignation she falsely had to cop to, and so General Kelly had to officially fire the bitch. But while that black woman is out, many black women are in Alabama who voted, get this, 98% for Doug Jones, 2% for T-Rump, and black men who voted 96% for Jones and 4% for the derelict Trump. And the turnout for black voters in Alabama was immense. To that I say amen. Tonight we'll look at the rights wrong view of Jesus Christ, the rights wrong view of Jesus Christ, and say this December evening a phrase Jesus would approve of, happy holidays from Savino Veritas.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of rap.
Start believing.
Some have told you to dump, dump, dump Trump.
This is why our country's in trouble.
Self-being king, I am, I'm Trump, 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 Trump.
I'm very highly educated.
The finest things on earth are Trump, 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 Trump.
I know words, I have the best words.
All hail my sacred worth, I'm Trump, 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 Trump. If you vote for me, then Trump, 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 Trump.
I will be your champion.
So dumb. Racist, maybe I'm Trump, 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 Trump.
Oh, look at my African American over here. Look at him.
I was a poor rich kid, I'm Trump, 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 Trump.
I alone can fix it. Believe it or not, hard to believe.
Tremendous mud I sling, I'm Trump, 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 Trump. You should bow to me, I'm Trump, 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 Trump.
I alone can fix it.
You're not so dumb.
I moved on her like a bitch.
You wanna buy the time I dump, 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 dump.
You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy.
I let them suck off me like some, songs. They gave their best to me. I pump, 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 pump. Frontal and rump. Gentle or thumb.
pretty pathetic and ugly. I am pretty pathetic and ugly. I am pretty pathetic and ugly. I am pretty pathetic and ugly.
Friends, enemies, Veritasians, pro and con. It is no mystery I like puns. Some of Savino Veritas's slogans are not suited for radio, since the puns are based on the sense of sight, the ability to read, and some small degree of syntax and grammar. For example, In Wine the Truth, that's the slogan for Savino Veritas, which of course is a wordplay on the Latin in vino veritas, which means in wine the truth. The Latin in vino veritas, in wine the truth, is a phrase meaning that whatever sense delights this purple or golden ancient beverage may offer in taste and bouquet and sensuous feel going down one's gullet, the more wine you drink, the more likely one is for him or herself to go down to the gutter in drunkenness. And before one finds he or she is face to face with the vertical side of a cement curb, he or she is apt to blurt out to whomever's present the locations of all the bodies buried about which one knows. Not to mention, honestly, blurting out one's preferences for out-of-the-norm sexual proclivities, which you do wind up mentioning as the night of your drunken openness wears on, before the dawn break, when wine's truth-telling properties wears off, then the headaches begin. So the wine in Savino Veritas' slogan, In Wine the Truth, is not W-I-N-E, but rather W-H-I-N-E. On radio, if I just say, In Wine the Truth, you, dear listener, would understandably think of the In Vino Veritas meaning of the alcoholic beverage as a truth serum. And to make that meaning clear, the W-H-I-N-E meaning I offer you, the listener, an additional slogan, the fine wine of select gripes. Now, gripes, instead of grapes, is a nice pun that works on radio even for illiterates. No need to read for that one. Gripes in place of grapes. Even Trump himself could get that joke of gripes instead of grapes. Perhaps that was why, before the 2016 presidential election, he, the real Donald Trump, followed me on Twitter. This is true, friends. Yes, he followed me on Twitter. I had the sense to immediately block him. And as is his nature, he retaliated by blocking me, by unfollowing and blocking me. His blocking me on Twitter and unfollowing me, unfortunately, has turned out to be less than beneficial, as no matter how and when I stick my head in a hole in the ground to avoid his toxicity, I get to see, read, or hear his horrible tweets. So Savino Veritas uses slogans. Trump uses slogans. Build the wall, lock her up, and the ever-popular Make America Great Again. Make America Great Again. Even without the influence of wine, you listeners know of my linguistic proclivity to turn that phrase for the satirical benefit of we the intelligentsia into the internet sensation for memes, Great American Cheese Again. So I turn Make America Great Again into Great American Cheese Again. The inspiration for this lampoon, in truth, was borrowed from a lesbian friend's sweatshirt a decade or so ago, satirizing a still well-known pop singer. It read simply, Spear Britney, elegant. This skewering of Britney Spears was the simple repositioning of her first name with her last, and vice versa. My Great American Cheese Again followed the same kind of linguistic switch and used as a pun the turn on the homonym Great, G-R-E-A-T, and Great, G-R-A-T-E. Of course, adding cheese to the equation in Great American Cheese Again
is what makes you, the listener, understand that the great, G-R-A-T-E, I'm referring to here, is not G-R-E-A-T, as in stupendous or prodigious or mighty, but rather G-R-A-T-E, as in abrade or pulverize or scrape or rub. Let's settle on rub for a moment. For surely the great G-R-A-T-E I'm referencing here is the rub, as in to rub the wrong way. Surely, without a doubt, Donald J. Trump and his fascist, racist, sexist, Nazi, kleptocratic regime is at the very least rubbing us the wrong way, unless you happen to be among his brain-damaged base of supporters who have, to use a sloganish phrase, drank the Kool-Aid and actually believe, when the orange monster Trump is out, make America great again.
Of an eager man.
The fine wine of select gripes, Savino Veritas. Linghams and Yarnies, it's Swami Salami.
Satnam, Namaste, Swami Salami. If darkness is fallen, we know that the sun is still shining at this very moment somewhere not too far away. And however near or far that place may be, remember always to use sunscreen, at least SP 15. There are times when gloom or darkness causes us to momentarily lose our sight or the light in California. Now that the fire season is 12 months out of the year, we often lose sight, sometimes of even where we last parked the car. Although it is at these times when the thought of the sun can help us. Its warm, glowing rays brighten even our thoughts. And it's good to remember that despite appearances, the sun is shining right now. And if you live right now on planet Kepler-47c, it's shining right now twice. Or like George Lopez, the comedian, says, right now. We may not be able to see it at this very moment, but if clouds block our view, they are only filtering the sun's light temporarily. If darkness has fallen, we know that the sun is still shining at this very moment somewhere not too far away in Dubai, 8,315 miles away from Los Angeles, and it's only a matter of time, 12 hours to be exact, before it will shine on us again, unless there is a blaze blotting out the rays during the fire season. When we remember that the sun is still shining, we know that things are still in motion in the universe. Even if life feels like it is at a standstill, sometimes all we need to do is have faith and wait for the time when everything is in its perfect place. Like if you have OCD and you're sitting on the toilet waiting to wipe with the embossed broken hot pattern toilet paper, but you have to wait for a new sheet to start with the right side of the broken hot pattern right on the edge of the paper's perforation. You know, I'm just saying. Or we can choose to follow the cues of the sun and continue doing our work in shining our light even when we can't see results. In doing so, we exercise our patience, making sure we are prepared when opportunity knocks and all the other elements are in the right and perfect places. Like when your partner or roommate saves the day and brings you toilet paper with no patterns while you're on the commode, so you can happily leave relieved and refreshed, knowing you are clean where the sun don't shine. The sun also reminds us that our own shining truth is never extinguished. A light shines within us at all times, except for Larry David, who apparently has no light within. Though the sun gives us daily proof of its existence, sometimes our belief in our own light requires more time. If we think back, however, we can find moments when it showed itself and trust that we will see it again. Like the sun, our light is the energy that connects us to the movements of the universe and the movements of the bowels. If you don't see the sun, remember the welcome light of your loved one who came to give you a roll of TP and know you are forever clean, at least till next time, where the sun don't shine. Swami Salami, Sat Nam, Namaste.
Thank you, old Guru, Guru Swami Salami. Haven't heard from you for a while, Swami Salami. I wanted to get something spiritual in the show tonight, and that's why I played Swami Salami, Where the Sun Don't Shine segment. Many of you know, or some of you, that I have a connection with the spiritual world and spirituality and the mystic. I grew up a Catholic. And I studied Catholicism in elementary school, or as we called it, grammar school, in St. Athanasius in Brooklyn, New York, in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, New York. Hey, forget about it. And Catholicism was my religion foisted on me, as Larry David might say, foisted on me by my parents and powers that be. I had no choice in the matter. As I grew and my intellect grew with me, now, you know, I'm only 5'5", and I'm hoping and I think my intellect has grown beyond that, but I will have something that cannot be measured, I guess. But anyway, as I started thinking more, I really began to notice that the dogma, the practice of the adults who were teaching me, who were foisting upon me the belief of Jesus and the belief of Catholicism, wasn't matching the intent of Jesus as I was reading it. And of course, as for many people who studied in their youth and even as adults who just sort of believe it but have these doubts, a lot of those doubts, I think, are about teachings in the New Testament that just don't make any sense. Just don't make any sense. And previously in the show, we talked about puns and spelling. Puns are, of course, based on spelling, usually based on spelling, sometimes on sound, like in great and great, G-R-E-A-T and G-R-A-T-E. Well, that's spelling also. So it is based on spelling and sound, and the context in which the word is used in order for the pun to work. And slogans, words. Words are important. Slogans, make America great again. Build a wall. Lock her up. People really fucking hate me. Things the president says. These are all based on words. Words are important. Words are important. Words matter. Words matter. Spelling. And there's a word from the word spell. And spell has a number of meanings. Number of meanings. It means the chronology of letters that make up a word is spell. And also there is the magic spell, that inexplicable, ineffable power that's over us, that someone puts over us, a witch, a magician, shaman, and so on. That's a spell. And of course, another meaning of spell is a length of time. Haven't seen her in a spell. Not used much today, but it is used every now and then for duration of time. Spell. All meanings of the word spell. doubts about Catholicism emerged as I became an adult, and things just weren't fitting for me. But I never lost the desire for spirituality and the connection with spirituality. I've talked on the show in the early years. We are now in the fourth year of Sivino Veritas. I've talked in the first year about experiences I've had where the dead talk to me, not the way I'm talking to you now, not the way you're going to talk to the grocer in 10 minutes after the show. And please wait till after the show, because I do have a spell on you and you're not able to leave until after the show. So people who have doubts but continue to operate robotically, believing the religion, even though it doesn't make sense, it's not very good, I think. Anyway, I kind of dropped Catholicism as I grew older, but I never lost the connection with spirituality. And this was before dead people spoke to me. I had this connection with spirituality because of my Uncle Frank, on my mother's side, some dreams I had about him. I dreamt of him in a very powerful dream. It turns out the night that he died, and I didn't know he died. But anyway, there's a lot of stories about this that I could tell you, and the things that really cleared things up for me in terms of doubts about spirituality is, of course, when dead people of people I knew who were living talked to me to give messages to those living. That experience of which I refer, a couple of experiences of the dead communicating with me to the living, happened around the time I was taking a shamanic training. I was in a shamanic training class, if you want to call it a class. I was in shamanic training, let's say. It was a 5-year program. I did 2.5 years. I stopped halfway through because I began having experiences that I couldn't handle psychologically, like dead people talking to me. I couldn't handle it. But whatever it was I learned in the shamanic training had opened me up to where these spirits were able to talk to me. During my shamanic training in the desert near Mexico, many of my trance state vision experiences revolved around Jesus Christ. Now, I had already abandoned Catholicism, but apparently I had not abandoned Jesus Christ. I had not abandoned him because, lo and behold, in the desert near Mexico, in trance states and vision experiences, I kept having visions and communications about Jesus Christ, very powerful ones. I'm going to read you a very short entry from my notes in the shamanic training that will illustrate what I'm talking about. This is what I wrote right after a visionary experience about Jesus Christ in my shamanic training in the desert near Mexico. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Who would have thought that a Christian in 1974 could still be thrown to his own lions in a New York minute? And that I again would crucify you, Jesus, for a 9-to-5 fantasy of freedom. But you are determined, I'll give you that. No matter how much dirt I bury you under, your resurrection, even now, cannot be contained. Now, this was written in about 2010 or so. It was written in about 2010. And after a few months of training in the shamanic training in the desert, and I often had experiences, as I have said, in the shamanic training, where I see Christ or connect with Christ, even though I had abandoned him. And as you might tell from what I wrote, that was part of the subject of what I wrote. Now, why do I mention all this? Well, here's why. One of the things I learned in my shamanic training, and I say learned, I mean experienced, in my altered states, my trance states, my deep spiritual states, what I experienced about Jesus Christ and my connection with him had to do with really his true nature,
What I had learned as a boy in Catholic school was how Christ was so nice. Love thy neighbor, all that. Turn the other cheek. He was nice. The Jesus I connected with in the desert in my shamanic training was far from nice. He was a rebel. He was powerful. He was manly. He was an activist. He was an activist. He wanted to change society. He wanted the individual to learn how to touch the consciousness that he was living and he was experiencing. That's what I learned. That's what I experienced in the desert in my shamanic training 7 or 8 years ago. Now, when I left the shamanic teachings because of the psychological problems I was having with dealing with talking to the dead, I was still left with the dilemma of what do I do with my spirituality, because I'm very, very connected with it, even more so now. And I searched and searched. And as it turns out, and I feel comfortable about this now, I always have the connection of the Hindu teachings from India, yoga. You know that too, many of you. I joke playing Swami Salami, but I am very dearly devoted to a Swami in the name of Paramahansa Yogananda. And one of the things I like about Paramahansa Yogananda's teachings is his focus on Christ. And once again, not the nice Christ that we all know. Now, the problem with the nice Christ that most Christians know and most Christians adhere to is that it's a distortion of his teachings. Recently, a fellow shaman from my teachings, her name is Rose, recommended a book for me called The Wisdom Jesus. The Wisdom Jesus by Cynthia Bourgeault, B-O-U-R-G-E-A-U-L-T, Bourgeault, I think that's how you pronounce it. And her book, of which I am halfway through, very much is on the subject of the masses' misreading of Christ and going about our lives, many of us, not really knowing the teachings of Christ. And just like today, I mentioned that Jesus was an activist. Just like today, politics played a role in everything, including religion. And I could do many shows on this subject. I could talk to experts and have them on. Suffice it to say, and you can research it yourself, or maybe I'll do more on it. I don't know. But a lot of the teachings, a lot of Jesus's teachings were changed. They were changed to adhere to the political climate of the time in which they were changed. A great example is right here. Let me see if I can find it. I'm going to read a little bit from page 75, the first page of chapter 7, from the Wisdom Jesus. This is just a little bit. Jesus' path was exactly that, a radically unmanageable simplicity, a radically unmanageable simplicity. Nothing held back, nothing held on to. It was almost too much for his followers to bear. Even within the Gospels themselves, we see a tendency to rope him back in again, to turn his teachings into a manageable complexity. Take his radically simple saying. Most of us know this, so I think everybody's heard this. Take his radically simple saying, quote, "Those who would lose their life will find it, and those who would keep it will lose it." I'm going to say it again. "Those who would lose their life would find it, and those who would keep it will lose it." Very quickly, the Gospels add a caveat, quote, "Those who would lose their life
for my sake and the sake of the gospel, will find it. So I'm going to read the original and the change. Christ actually said, those who would lose their life will find it, and those who would keep it will lose it. It's been changed for political purposes to those who would lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will find it. All right, now I'm going to go back to reading the book. Back to Cynthia Bujold, who says, that may be the way you've always heard his teaching. Even though most biblical scholars agree that the italicized words, and that's the italicized words here, are for my sake and the sake of the gospel, those italicized words are a later addition. But you can see what this little addition has done. It has shifted the ballpark from the transformation of consciousness, Jesus's original intention, and into martyrdom. So Jesus' original intention and his teachings, the basis of his teachings, really, or is, the transformation of consciousness. The transformation of consciousness. As a matter of fact, this chapter I'm reading from, which is page one of the chapter, is Jesus as Tantric Master. And because of my very, very widespread learning in mysticism and spiritual practices of all kinds, tantric practices in Buddhism, Hinduism, tantric means transformation. Tantric is transformation. Most of us have heard of tantric sex, and yes, one can use sex as a basis of transformation, but that's not what tantra is all about. Tantra is not all about sex. It's all about transformation. And again, the title of this chapter is Jesus as Tantric Master. But basically, what he wanted was the transformation. What he was trying to teach is the transformation of consciousness, not to become a martyr. So adding those words, for my sake and the sake of the gospel, those who would lose their life, for my sake and the sake of the gospel will find it, is totally changes the meaning of those who would lose their life will find it, and those who would keep it will lose it. That's different. That is totally different. Totally different. So the Jesus that I became aware of experientially in the desert in Mexico, near Mexico, what was once Mexico, because we stole it, that, we being the United States, but that's another subject. That Jesus, the Jesus I got in touch with, the Jesus I'm connected with, is not the nice Jesus. In this book, The Wisdom Jesus, Cynthia Bujold talks about the hard teachings, of Christ, the teachings that before that even without there being change, even without somebody changing them, that is for his words that were not changed. But there are some of his teachings, especially the Beatitudes. Some of his teachings are incomprehensible. That is, they're more like Zen koans. They're more like Zen koans, which you can't really explain. You just meditate on it and boom, it hits you or it doesn't. But like the Beatitudes, for instance, I'll give you a Beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. This Beatitude follows as the logical consequence of all that has been laid out so far. When our hearts are gentled and single, when we've tamed the animal instincts, we become peacemakers. We are no longer wielding the sword of the binary operator that divides the world into good guys and bad guys, insiders and outsiders, winning team and losing team. When the field of vision has been unified, the inner being comes to rest,
And that inner peaceableness flows into the outer world as harmony and compassion. So what a lot of his teachings really are teaching, that the ones that kind of are just sort of thrown aside as, I don't know, we can't explain that, like these Beatitudes, they're really talking about duality and non-duality, not about being a martyr, not about lose your life for me, but lose your life, the delusional life that you live for transformation of consciousness. Now, why do I bring this up here on Savina Veritas, which is, deals with political things, usually? I bring it up because in America and much of the Western world, as you go further east in the Western world, as you get closer to the Buddhist countries, even Christianity is different. They have a better grasp of these cone-like Jesus teachings than we do here in the West. Here in the West, we have bastardized Jesus' message and have used it as a club to beat and oppress others who do not believe it. When I said that sentence, I could not help but see so-called Vice President Mike Pence as the kind of person I'm talking about. So-called evangelical Christians in this country take this bastardized, distorted message of Jesus, never, never talking about his true meaning of non-duality and transformation of consciousness, never dealing with that. Never dealing with those things, but rather taking the teachings that have been changed or the ones that can be spun to make it mean for the people who are learning things, for the less knowledgeable, make it mean there are right people and wrong people. There are right ideas and wrong ideas. And our ideas are the right ideas. And everybody else's is the wrong ideas. That's the kind of dogmatism that creates ISIS and evangelical Christians here in the United States who put on a pedestal a sexual predator, clearly mentally ill, clearly corrupt, clearly dishonest, so-called president. They put that man on a pedestal. And in the name of Christ, say we should all bow down to him. And bow down to his fascism and kleptocratic methods, stealing of our republican democracy. Now, it is the untrue Christ created by untrue Christians that guides this so-called Judeo-Christian country. The whole idea of Puritanism, which is really at the root of an American foundation, Puritanism. Total hypocrisy. Well, that hypocrisy is still carrying on today in the name of Jesus. But beware, everybody. Be aware and beware that distortion, that the hypocritical distortion of Jesus today to be used for political means is not the true Christ, who was not nice and who was very powerful in helping us learn how to transform our consciousness. Here's another example, and that's apropos to what I'm talking about now. This is another beatitude. The beatitude, this is beatitude number 8. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is not talking about martyrdom here, but about freedom. The Gospel of Thomas. Now, the Gospel of Thomas was, I won't say condemned. It's not condemned, but it's not allowed. If you were to be baptized tomorrow into a Baptist church or a Catholic church, you would not be learning the Gospel of Thomas. You'd be learning Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the accepted politically correct Gospels, and some of which has been changed. But in the Gospel of Thomas, sometimes called the agnostic gospel, or the sometimes, I'm sorry, not the agnostic, but Gnostic. The Gospel of Thomas records the same beatitude with a slight but telling variation that captures the very essence of Jesus' meaning here, and in fact, throughout all the beatitudes. Now, before I read what Thomas's testament is, I want to say that what's being said here is that Thomas's picture of Jesus, based on his wording of the Beatitudes, is more accurate to the true Christ, not the Beatitudes that most people know, like the one I just read: "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's been bastardized, it's been changed, it's been spun from what Thomas said, and here's what he said in his gospel. "Blessed are you in the midst of persecution, who, when they hate and pursue you even to the core of your being, cannot find you anywhere." And there's a quote, "you" is in quotations. "Blessed are you in the midst of persecution, who, when they hate and pursue you even to the core of your being, cannot find you anywhere." That's the same beatitude, basically, but by Thomas. And this biblical scholar, Cynthia Bourgeold, is saying that that is more accurate to the real, unnice teachings of Jesus. She goes on a little bit and explains that a little more. Talk about freedom. "Whatever this elixir of pure liberation may be, it is what the journey is all about. And it is attained gradually within us, distilled drop by drop from the terror and turmoil of our egoic selfhood as we learn to let go and entrust ourselves to the divine mercy. Situations of persecution or anything else that shakes us out of our egoic comfort zone can become great teaching tools if we have the courage to use them that way." Do the Beatitudes appear differently to you against this wisdom backdrop? In these eight familiar sayings, the Beatitudes, we can now see that Jesus is talking about a radical transformation of consciousness embraced through an attitude of inner receptivity, a willingness to enter the flow, a commitment to domesticate those violent animal programs within us, and above all, a passionate desire to unify the heart. This is a very powerful fourfold path. It has both a contemporaneity and a timelessness to it, not unlike the teaching you would hear today from the Dalai Lama and other great spiritual masters who have dedicated their lives to increasing the quality and quantity of human consciousness. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is Christmas time, and this horrible thing in our White House is using Christ to create and make real a phantasmagorical war on Christmas. It is such bullshit. My whole life, Christians, non-Christians, atheists, have wished people Merry Christmas and have said also Happy Holidays in respect to those who are not Christian, because of the time of the year to express compassion, tolerance, love for one another. But this despicable man in the White House who uses Christianity, he is so far from Christianity, he doesn't even know the dogmatic Christianity that I am now putting down as being inaccurate, the dogmatic Christianity, he doesn't even know the dogmatic Christianity. He's just using Christ every which way. Unfortunately, those who support him who are evangelicals or fundamentalist Christians, call themselves fundamentalist Christians, they are also using it. I would think many of those are not hypocritical. They simply are not really getting the true meaning of Jesus Christ. And now, in keeping with the true meaning of Jesus Christ and Christmas, here's an original song that I wrote, although I did steal the music, about Christmas, the despicable man in that white house. Enjoy.
I went to sleep from an acid trip. I really changed my ways. I stopped off at a tower to pay my rent for May. I handed it to dear Herr Trump, a jolly old Nazi. He took me to a website and showed his plans to me. Watched out with agents and spies. The border patrols got corporate ties. Satan Trump is building a wall. He's keeping a list, he'll sell for a price. Illegal wetbacks, he'll sell you to ice. Satan Trump is building a wall. He sells you as a rapist. He sold that for his sake. He cannot tell what's bad or good, so here's life on the take. Oh, the border's watched out with agents and spies. The border patrol's got corporate ties. Satan Trump is building a wall. He cannot tell what's bad or good, so he lives life on the take. With tonic in hands, his helpers are dumb. A Rudy to Giuliani is one. Satan Trump is building. Satan Trump is building. Satan Trump is building a wall.
It's the Fabulous Geek Show.
Tied up, ready.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Juicedtalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Vino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne-Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne-Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at juicetalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
just about ready for kickoff. Some of the players are kneeling down.
When those ungrateful traitors on the field take a knee,
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Fight back and stake a knee. Don't take a knee, stake a claim and zap a cap.
Bing!
A kneecap with Stake a Knee. Stake a Knee is an Android or iPhone app developed by AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, Coke Industries, Pepsi, Kellogg's, General Mills, Coca-Cola, Papa John's Pizza, KFC, Budweiser, Hobby Lobby, and more. With your Stake a Knee app, you can zap a laser-sharp corporate logo of any one of those companies and reach tens of millions of NFL TV viewers. Zap on the cap.
Bing.
That's right. Right on the cap of the exposed knee of the un-American protester you hate the most. That's right. Enjoy the feeling of revenge as those half-kneeling ingrates on the field unwittingly spread the comforting message of our shared real American values. And they'll never know it. Imagine Colin Kaepernick beaming out to the world Nestle Quick on his knee while you know you put it there with your Stake a Knee. How does it work? Who cares? Don't take a knee. Stake a claim and zap a cap. A kneecap.
Bing.
With Stake a Knee. Don't take a knee. Stake a knee. Right from the comfort of your couch, right at your fingertips, touch your screen, choose a logo, and zap.
Bing.
Right on the cap of a Suggs, Evans, or Kaepernick knee. When they take a knee, stake a knee. Providers, medicine, data usage charges will apply while using Stake a Knee. Stake a Knee phone carriers and corporations worldwide are not responsible for disruptions in church services. Should Stake a Knee be used on parishioners during prayer?
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
I alone can fix it.
When you knew you couldn't fix it alone. And the feds and media aren't kidding. We've got you covered. Penultimate collusion. When the next to last door is wide open, we ensure the final one won't ever shut. With penultimate collusion insurance, you'll get partisan spin by friendly committee reps.
That doesn't help us a lot.
Fake news redirection.
No evidence of anything into five investigations on Capitol Hill. That's a pretty good trick.
And conspiracy theory diversion.
Welcome back to Hannity. Questions continue to swirl around the mysterious murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich.
You can rest securely knowing that a good portion of your premium always goes toward gerrymandering to ensure they'll never be enough votes to impeach you. And with penultimate, regardless of your history of corruption and even obstruction of justice, will never drop you for a pre-existing condition. If there is a there, you can count on our there. Penultimate collusion insurance. We're there when there's a there.
Collusion insurance may void in California, Washington, and Oregon. Coverage does not include active enabling. A shift in party dominance in either Congress and or the Senate may void coverage. Collusion insurance does not cover an act of God should you be struck dead by atmospheric conditions, including but not limited to lightning, mudslides, or flood.
Penultimate collusion. There.
Good job, Todd. Hi, I'm Jonathan Brackel from Comcast. We've read your comments and complaints, and we know that a lot of you are very nervous about our merger with Time Warner Cable. So I wanted to talk to you today and let you know that no matter what happens, we don't give a fuck about you. Whether you're calling in for a service appointment for your cable box or wondering why your favorite channel disappeared, we don't give a fuck. That's what makes us an industry leader in terrible customer service. We don't give a fuck because we don't have to. What? Are you gonna go to another cable service provider? Chances are we own whatever movie or network you're watching, so that's still money in our pocket. Of course, you could watch Netflix or Hulu. In fact, you should. We own Hulu. We also make Netflix pay us extra for streaming content, which means they'll probably pass those costs on to you. Bottom line, fuck you! From the people who answer our phones to the people who write our TV shows, we do not give a fuck. And we collect labor violations and lawsuits the way fat kids collect cookies. Seriously, Google it. They don't call us the Walmart of telecom because we smell like rats and pizza. They call us that because we don't give a fuck about you. I know a big merger like this can be confusing, but all you really need to know is this is who we give a fuck about, and this is who we don't give a fuck about. And you. So thank you for choosing Comcast. You don't have a choice. Hey, America, go fuck yourselves.
Do you find yourself feeling depressed, hopeless, having trouble sleeping, struggling with frequent panic attacks, irritability, constant arguments with family?
I know Dad did too. I know that.
Friends, or even friends of friends on Facebook. Yelling at your phone or computer screen.
Unbelievable.
And the constant urge to pull out your hair. If any of these sound familiar, you may be suffering from TIAD or Trump-induced anxiety disorder. Impeachara may help. Impeachara is a prescription medication that may alleviate many symptoms of TIAD. Impeachara works on your brain's neurotransmitters and optical receptors, convincing you that Donald Trump has already been impeached. Not all patients have the same reactions, and results may vary.
Okay.
Side effects may include elation, the ability to focus on work and family again, and reconnecting with people you called ignorant fuckfaces on social media.
Boom.
Women that are pregnant or nursing should ask their doctor, as well as their state legislators, if they are allowed to take this medicine. Impeachara is not approved for children or adolescents under voting age and should not be taken by those in favor of the current administration, for it may cause thoughts of suicide or spontaneous bowel movements. In rare cases, people have developed a skin condition known as Cheeto face. Tell your doctor right away if you have thoughts of comb-overs or experience a reduction in the size of your hands. Before you decrease or stop taking Impeachara, make sure you have disabled instant news alerts on all of your mobile devices.
Things got pretty dark there for a while, but thanks to Impeachara, I've elected to be happy. Nice shot.
Talk to your doctor to see if Impeachara might be right for you.
Go again.
Also, do it fairly soon before you lose your health insurance.
As most of you who are parents know, the elf on a shelf has become a time-honored holiday tradition. The elf watches your kids and reports back to Santa, but it's been around for a while now, and I worry that it's starting to lose its gravitas. I've noticed the kids are not, they're not so worried about it anymore. They don't fear the elf anymore. So this year, we came up with a new product that I hope will make your kids behave bigly.
The creators of Elf on the Shelf bring you a bigger, better Christmas tradition. Trump on a Stump. A whimsical rendering of our president-elect sitting on a faux wooden tree stump. Hide Trump on a stump all around the house to watch over your kids and make sure they behave. You never know where he'll pop up next.
Mom!
Trump on a stump doesn't report to Santa. He reports directly to the Pentagon through built-in cameras and hidden microphones inside his head. So when your child misbehaves, special analysts alert Border Patrol, who immediately have him deported.
First gun!
Make your holidays great again with Trump on a Stump. Pens on a Fence sold separately.
Available at Walgreens.
Thank you so much for joining me this and every Thursday evening on Savino Veritas, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, and all other times in between every Thursday night right here on SRN1 Internet Airwaves at 148.ca/1 and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, www.juicetalk.com. That's www.juicetalk.com. That's the place also to enjoy the 1970s restored comedy radio series, Dead Air, and other unique broadcasts. Again, that's www.juicetalk.com. May you have a merry tantric Christmas and happy holidays. This is Tom Savino, your host, saying, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Resist. Peace.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.